another one. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back, motherfucker, you don't know me like that. Get back, motherfucker, you don't know.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the Brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The Brothers Anderson are, this is Eric.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
This is Brother Jay.
You ask me if I have a God complex. Let me tell you something. I am God.
This is true.
There is a storm coming like nothing you have ever seen, and not a one of you is prepared for it.
So sit back, close your eyes, and let us take you away. Unless you're driving, in which case keep your eyes open and watch the road, and you know, anyway.
Just bought a plane, so we changing the weather now. So put your brakes on, caps, put your capes on.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2008 smash hit Tropic Thunder, written and directed by Ben Stiller.
Wait, can I derail us right off the bat?
Yes, please.
Can I give a shout out to a couple new listeners?
Yeah,
absolutely.
One is Kim, a nice woman who works with my wife in her office. And the other is Davey, a nice woman who works with me in my office. And what I wanted to mention, specifically about Davey, Davey found out, not through me, about our podcast, and told me that she was very excited to listen to it because if the three of us are anything like Dick, we are sure to be hilarious. But
she's not wrong.
It's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
probably not how she imagined.
Yeah. At the same time, this, I know we've talked about this before, but that first part does not compute for me.
Well, yeah, the second part, I mean, we're all various shades of Dick. But, yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. It just reminds me that work dick is not the same as the at-home Dad Anderson.
Yeah, well, as it should be.
Yeah.
So, welcome, Kim. Welcome, Davey.
And certainly we are happy to entertain your movie suggestions.
Hopefully you'll be enjoying this night's festivity, Tropic Thunder.
No, that would be one more person that's going to enjoy it.
This is on Brother Jay's list, so Brother Jay...
No.
So, this is on Brother Drew's list. Actually, it's on my list, too.
Yeah, I think you put this on the calendar,
yeah,
Eric.
I like this movie. This is kind of, it's a particular type of movie. You know, we had been talking a little bit about movies such as Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit, and this is way better than that.
You think so?
I think so. I guess we'll have stuff to talk about.
Okay.
So Brother Jay, you
there are parts of this movie that delve into genius territory.
I think this actually epitomizes my my feelings about Ben Stiller, because Ben Stiller has these ridiculous ideas, and I think they're funny because they're so ridiculous. I don't necessarily like him as the goofy actor, but I think he's really good. I mean, he was great in Permanent Midnight. He's a good actor, I think.
Yeah, he was the second worst part of this movie.
What was the worst part of this movie?
Jack Black.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes. But I hate Jack Black. We've discussed this many times, that I hate Jack Black with the exception of one movie.
Which is?
The Jackal.
Because he gets Arnold.
No spoilers, man. We haven't done it yet.
Actually, it's been on the list for years.
I don't think you can spoil a movie that's like 25 years old.
That's a movie that I actually saw with our parents in the movie theater.
I want to say, did I see this in the movie theater or not? Maybe not.
I think it was a Christmas movie when I had come home for Christmas one year, and it was just Mom and Dad and I. It was at the Diamond Center.
So wait, you saw this movie?
No, Jackal.
Okay, I was going to say.
Oh, God, no. Tonight was the first time I've seen this movie.
Yeah, no, I saw The Jackal in the theater.
This is the first time you've seen Tropic Thunder?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, so here, this is a unique perspective. you already kind of went into it with bad vibes from you don't really like Jack Black. And do you like Ben Stiller?
Sometimes.
What's your overall impression of this movie?
I didn't laugh once.
You didn't even like Tom Cruise?
I didn't dislike Tom Cruise, but it didn't make me laugh.
Did you appreciate Robert Downey Jr. at all?
I appreciated him, but again, this movie didn't make me laugh. So, for satire to be funny to me, it has to commit to the satire. This was like pandering and bad humor with every cliche thrown in on top of it. It was not funny. I didn't laugh at all. It was an hour and 47 minutes that I didn't laugh.
You didn't laugh at what do you mean, you people?
Nope. I quite literally did not laugh once. And I admit that it may be me, that just my sense of humor doesn't maybe attenuate quite to this type of satire, which is fine. But you're equating this to Cannonball Run, which at least Cannonball Run was stupid funny. This didn't even have that going for it.
Oh, I thought this was stupid funny. Mm-mm. I thought a lot of this movie was stupid funny.
Ben Stiller was playing Zoolander in this movie.
Yes, he was playing Derek Zoolander as an actor. I agree. That was bad.
I've seen that before.
I thought this movie had like quite a variety of like lowbrow humor and highbrow humor.
Yeah, I thought so. Like, I mean,
like the Robert Downey Jr., I'm just a dude pretending to be a dude, trying to be another dude speech. That's really funny.
But I've seen that before. It's not original. It didn't make me laugh. It's nothing I haven't seen before.
Well, these are like parodies of real people.
No, I understand, but it wasn't funny. That's the problem.
You didn't think the Oscar-nominated film or Oscar-winning film, Satan's Alley, wasn't hilarious?
I didn't laugh once. So, draw your own conclusion.
That's going to be a short show then.
I'm just saying. Like,
So Kim, Davey, I hope you like a lot of housekeeping.
I even chuckled at MTV Movie Award winner Tobey Maguire.
Yes.
Just little touches like that really, really tickled my funny bone.
Well, okay, I forgot that this movie opens with a rapper by the name of
Al Pacino,
which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And it was over the top in the same way that Zoolander's over the top, which I kind of appreciated. Like, I thought they committed to the bit there. He's got his booty sweat energy drink and bust a nut candy bar and singing about I love the pussy. But turns out he's really a closeted homosexual who's in love with a man named Lance. Please tell me you at least got that joke.
A very famous man.
Yes.
Of course I got that joke because Lance Bass is in the end of the movie.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That didn't make you smile?
But when they said he was in...
Bass's angelic face make you laugh and smile and feel warm in your heart?
I'm not a Lance Bass fan.
Okay.
He's moon-faced and not my type, so... No, when he said it was Lance, I immediately knew instinctively it was Lance Bass. That's how bad this movie is to me. Like, it was predictable.
You didn't think for one second it was going to be Lance Armstrong?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that would have been absurd.
Lance Armstrong only has one nut, so.
But he's got seven yellow jerseys, goddammit.
Well.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I think he still has them.
Well,
they're not official.
He's erased from the book, but
this movie wanted to try really hard, and I give it credit. It was trying hard, but then they could have done so much better with different directions. But the child's ruler of the drug village is where I was immediately off board. That, like, you lost me.
Except that's based on a real thing. That's based on like real like Cambodian or Vietnamese like rebels out in the jungle, real child like smoke cigars and everything. That's all a real thing. I could find that guy's name if you'd like.
You didn't think Tom Cruise yelling the most horrible profanities into the phone with these giant catcher's mitt hands was hilarious?
Okay, do you know how Tom Cruise came to this movie?
In a big limousine, I'd guess.
No, Ben Stiller wanted him to play the agent, the McConaughey role. And Tom Cruise is like, wait, I got a better idea. And he invented Les Grossman. And Les Grossman has actually been in other things now. They wanted to do a full feature-length Les Grossman movie.
What else has Les Grossman been in?
The movie was promoted with a bunch of like fake documentaries and fake websites and things. Like, there's actually a website for Smilin' Jack, as if it were a real movie.
Simple Jack?
Simple Jack, I'm sorry. For Simple Jack. Until it got taken down after disabled rights people got crazy angry about it. Which seems reasonable.
You would think the Black Caucus would have come unhinged.
Well, that's the funny thing, is that Robert Downey Jr. is playing like a... Dustin Hoffman. What do they say? He actually...
Like Daniel Day-Lewis?
Daniel Day-Lewis, but also Dustin Hoffman, Daniel Day-Lewis, and one other actor. Oh, here we go. Russell Crowe, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell?
Yep.
They're saying Colin Farrell, like, is this method, like, he stays in character the entire time? Oh, I want that to be true so much just for Miami Vice.
Like, he was Crockett all the time?
Yes, he was that version of Crockett.
So, Brother Jay, you don't like it at all. You find nothing good about it. And I can understand that Jack Black's character, Jeff Fatty Portnoy, was absurd and silly and the worst part of the movie, because he's playing kind of a Chris Farley type.
I thought they were making fun of Eddie Murphy.
Yes, they were. They were definitely making fun of Eddie Murphy in all the fat suit movies.
Let me get my notes. Hold on one second. So, my notes, which I will show you, but I will describe for the audience. I wrote one sentence. 5 minutes in, and dear God, this already feels like the longest movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just think this hits you at a bad place.
Yeah, I think you decided not to let yourself have any fun.
Yeah, which is fair. I mean, I've done that before.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I like Robert Downey Jr. I don't dislike Ben Stiller. I like Tom Cruise. Bill Hader. I love Bill Hader. I mean, there's lots of people in it. Matthew McConaughey, hippie boy, is not bad.
I thought Brandon Jackson, the Al Pacino character, was great. Jay Baruchel, Hiccup from the How to Train Your Dragon.
Again, it was all good, but none of it made me laugh. It didn't strike me as funny, so that's the problem. Not laughing makes this an interminably long movie.
Man, I chuckled even when Robert Downey Jr. had that facial twitch when Speedman asked him why he's still in character if he doesn't think they're still shooting a movie. Just that nonverbal tick was hilarious.
I love Robert Downey Jr.'s Australian accent. They wanted him to do an Irish accent, and he was more comfortable being Australian. I even like Danny McBride, and Danny McBride is not like... He's like everything I don't want to like. But he was pretty funny as the pyrotechnics guy.
Yeah. Eastbound and Down. I like him.
Never seen the show.
You didn't even like Nick Nolte's like dark, cryptic, nonsensical speech in the beginning?
I didn't dislike it. I just didn't think it was funny. I know.
Well, this is going to be a rough night. Comedies are hard, people. That's what we've learned, is that if we don't fully embrace them, comedies are really difficult to talk about.
I imagine we'll have the same dynamic if we ever, but with me and Jason's chair, if we ever do like a Mel Brooks movie.
Maybe. One of the more obscure ones. Like, or I guess obscure is the wrong word, but like...
I was going to say none of them are obscure, but...
I was thinking like 12 Chairs or The Silent Movie or...
I think High Anxiety might be the only Mel Brooks movie I can stand. I'm not even really a big fan of Spaceballs.
Well, Spaceballs is a little dated, and it's got its, you know, we're not even talking about the movie we reviewed.
something of a hallmark.
Yeah. Let's talk about Murder by Death.
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, man.
But Spaceballs, as we rewatched, you know, as Eric and I reviewed Spaceballs, I think we, because that was without you, correct, Brother Drew?
Probably.
I think we determined that it did not hold up very well.
No, and I think like Blazing Saddles will not hold up.
Yeah, well, they couldn't make Blazing Saddles today.
Oh, no. No, yeah, and
I mean,
and History of the World is, you know, and even like Robin Hood, Men in Tights, it's a certain kind of comedy.
Yeah.
That doesn't really appeal to me so much. Sure. And this is kind of that. I mean, this is all over the top, you know, like I like this the same way I like Zoolander. I mean, it was absurd, but I was in on the ride. I liked the idea of it.
But Zoolander made me laugh.
Well, it's okay. Now, if Will Ferrell made an appearance in this, he would have been howling.
Maybe. And this movie made lots of money, and it's evenly split as far as critique, because I was like, I had to check. I'm like, am I totally out of my mind? Am I missing something? It is evenly split 50-50. People either love this movie or they hate it like it's a big steaming pile of shit. And there's hundreds of reviews, and they're all 50-50. The average is, you know, equal.
I would be, in all fairness, I would be perfectly happy to watch like an edited version of this movie where it's just the scenes with Robert Downey Jr. and or Tom Cruise. I'd be fine with that.
There's a longer director's cut of this movie.
Well, I don't think anybody needs to see that. Because all you're going to get is you're going to get more Jeff Fetty Portnoy backstory or something. Well, housekeeping. We can ring this in at 17 minutes and call it good.
No, I mean, you guys should know. You should go through the plot and discuss it.
Shall we go through the plot, Drew, or do we just want to call this a two?
No,
one recommend, one mildly recommend, and one not like.
No, I mean we can discuss the premise of the movie because I think you're right. As far as ideas go, I think the premise of this movie is pretty fun. It's a bunch of it's supposed to be like a super team of a movie, right? You get a bunch of extremely popular stars, throw them all in one movie, but it's a satire of sort of the Hollywood machine and the ridiculous nature of acting as a profession. So they have all the different sort of archetypes of, you know, kind of douchebag actors thrown together in this ridiculous war movie. And turns out they get up to some shenanigans and find themselves embroiled in a real hostile situation in the jungle. And they're not sure if they're still shooting a movie or not. That's the basic premise. But it's really, I think, the performance of Robert Downey Jr., which I think elevates this movie to something more than that, and the bonkers turn by Tom Cruise, which is, it's funny to say it, but which was the comic relief for the sort of comedic violence.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is that I don't want this to be true, but I think Tom Cruise is actually kind of funny. Like, he's got a sense of humor.
About some things.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, like, his whole he created the character with the bald wig, the giant hands for no reason, or the giant arms and hands for no reason, and also the dancing real low. That was, like, his whole goal in the whole thing.
Do you know if they were, like, actually, like, giant hands, or if they gave him, like, tiny cell phone props?
I don't know. Good question. Probably a little of both. They probably used forced perspective too, but no, I think they were giant hands also.
That's so funny.
Yeah, just absurd funny. Okay, mm-hmm. So you described it well. So the archetypes we have is the Al Pacino rapper turned actor guy, and who's more interested in marketing his personal brand than maybe taking the acting seriously. And then we have action star Tug Speedman, Ben Stiller, who's your, like, vapid action hero. And then we have the comedian, like slapstick comedian, Jeff Portnoy, played by Jack Black. And then we have the 5-time Oscar winner, basically Daniel Day-Lewis character of Kirk Lazarus, played by Robert Downey Jr., who the even Robert Downey Jr. said, on the face of it, when you realize he was going to basically be doing blackface.
Yeah, but that was the point of how ridiculous that was and how inappropriate that was.
Exactly, yeah.
And they even directly address it.
Yeah, even in the very beginning.
Oh, all throughout. Like, just all of Al Pacino's interactions with Lazarus are gold.
Oh, yeah, and he's playing, I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is playing, not only is he playing an African-American man, but he's also playing an African-American man from, like, a blaxploitation 70s movie. Like, all his language is all gonna get you, sucker.
Yeah, he's doubling down on the stereotypes.
Yeah. And we have the narrator of the beginning of the movie and the writer of the screenplay this is based on, the movie within the movie is based on, John Fourleaf Tayback, played by Nick Nolte, who's the grizzled war veteran.
At first, I thought he was Kris Kristofferson.
It could have been. They're kind of interchangeable.
And this is a phase of his career where Nick Nolte is just doing Nick Nolte all the time, right?
Yeah, that's all that's required of him. Yeah, it just be Nick Nolte. You might also see the works of Samuel Jackson. And which is, you know, again, it's fine. I'm not going to pick any fights with Mr. Jackson or Mr. Nolte. It seems like they wouldn't have senses of humor about this. So anyway, so Nick Nolte is a double amputee, lost both his hands in the war. And you didn't like the over-the-top gruesome scene with Ben Stiller's character having his hands blown off?
Octopus hands?
Oh my God, I thought that was hilarious. And the only thing, I mean, the fact that it was like wiggling, it was so funny when they're trying to do those speeches.
I just love the fact that he was getting pissed off because Lazarus was crying in a scene that he wasn't supposed to be crying in.
Well, and that's the thing, is that they were taking the acting far too seriously and they had lots of egos involved in it. And then we have the director, played by Steve Coogan, who is, I think he's playing maybe like a Richard Stanley role in the whole thing.
Poor Richard Stanley.
Poor Richard, exactly. To get stuck in that poor Yoderowski's Dune with Devin Faraci. Yeah, so they get stranded in the jungle. I mean, I think the original premise of this movie was, because I think Ben Stiller had a small role in Empire of the Sun. So maybe some of those actors had to go do some sort of like military boot camp. And like the kernel of the story was these actors who have to go on a military boot camp to get ready for a war movie, come back with actual real PTSD. But, you know, as a comedy.
No, I mean, I can imagine that there'd be some ridiculously unaware actors who spend a couple weeks in boot camp getting ready for a role and think they're ready to go hit the front lines.
And okay, so Brother Jay, had you heard the most famous speech from this movie? Maybe the most offensive and hilarious speech in any movie in 2008?
I'm not entirely sure to what you're referring to.
You're referring to You Never Go Full Retard?
Exactly.
Oh. No, I hadn't heard that before.
Oh, you didn't think it was funny? What did boyfriend Jesse think about this movie?
He thought one part of the movie was funny.
Which part was that?
When they were spitting on each other. Ben Stiller character comes out. He's still hanging on the little bamboo rack. They bring him into the village.
Yes, yes.
And he thinks it's a movie, and so he spits on the guy, and the guy spits back, and he's like, wait, another take. And then they're like, it is a literal spit take back and forth. Yeah, he thought that was funny, but he predicted, he goes, you don't think that was funny, do you? And I'm like, nope. He's like, huh, okay.
Oh, he knew what kind of mood you were in.
I was going to say, so he can't laugh because he's being judged.
Jason doesn't judge like that.
No, of course not.
He's used to being judged. He's lived with me. Boyfriend Jesse said that he thought this movie was a little funny when he first saw it, but when he watched it tonight, he goes, this movie isn't funny anymore. So, maybe it's just an Oregon thing. Maybe we're just weird here.
One would say it's funnier now in these troubled times. This movie was not... 2008 did not deserve this movie.
I will say, this is not the kind of movie where I would want to watch it a lot. Like, I don't think I've seen it since it first came out on video when I watched it and enjoyed it back in the day. Is this movie 10 years old now?
Yes, it is.
That's crazy. Yeah, so it's probably been about that long, maybe 9 years since I've seen it. And, I'm not upset about it. I mean, I enjoyed it. I knew what to expect, but I still chuckled at the funny parts. I don't think I want to watch it again anytime soon. Like, I get it. I've had my fill for a while. But if it was on TV and it was one of the funnier Robert Downey Jr. scenes or the Tom Cruise scenes, I'd probably watch it for a couple minutes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the Tom Cruise scenes are great because they're kind of out of nowhere, and they intentionally kept him out of the marketing for it, so much so that I think one of those, like, Entertainment Tonight or what's the Inside Edition or whatever those TV shows are, had a picture of him with his bald cap on, and they threatened to sue if they released it.
Good for them.
So anyway, yada yada, they're filming this movie. And everything's going wrong, from the director's perspective.
It's Apocalypse Now.
Yes, it is Apocalypse Now. It's totally Apocalypse Now. And that's the send-up. And they end up with the plan to take the guys out and give them a little bit of, a taste of the jungle. And, yeah, that's where they bump into a real band of guerrilla soldiers. Not in the Planet of the Apes guerrilla soldiers we would actually... maybe prefer watching, but
those would be literal guerrilla soldiers.
I'm gonna have to look in the notes because it's in Thailand or Laos or one of a small Southeast Asian country where there was a band of rebels led by a teenager or preteen.
You don't say.
I say.
No, he said you don't say.
So they're off in the jungle, and there's the whole thing about no cell phones, except Ben Stiller manages to keep his cell phone. So he's in touch with his agent, Rick Pecker Peck, Matthew McConaughey. And there's where the technology breaks down, because the one thing that Pecker wants to make sure that Speedman has is a TiVo in his dressing room or his trailer. That was in his contract. TiVo was a thing. It's like a DVR, like proto DVR thing.
TiVo still exists.
Tell us more.
Anyway, and I thought McConaughey was doing a fine job.
He was good. It's sort of the straight man in the movie.
Yeah,
he had good timing.
And then we have the studio head, Les Grossman, played by Tom Cruise, and the film is a month behind schedule, only 5 days into shooting. And it's already been, like, the most expensive war movie never made. So it is totally Apocalypse Now. So, yeah, and the ruse to get them all inspired, they have, they drop these guys in the wilderness and set up some pyrotechnics to make them think that they're in a real war. But it turns out it is a real war. So it's all goofy from there. And we have the fact that Jack Black is a drug addict in a kind of a funny way, but not funny enough to be worthy of, like, watching the rest of the movie, just for his parts.
There's nothing funny about Jack Black in this movie.
Not really. But yeah, so we have basically Ben Stiller also gets captured by the gorillas, but of course he thinks it's part of the movie because he is the Derek Zoolander, not too bright. And the other guys have to go try to rescue him, and mayhem ensues. But I like Jay Baruchel. I thought he was fine. Drew doesn't like Jay Baruchel.
He was fine. I like him as Hiccup, but he's always kind of playing Hiccup.
Kind of. He's a snarky guy. He was good in, what is it, This Is the End.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's better than you think it would be. It's not great. it's not Tropic Thunder great, but it's kind of along those same lines. I mean, there's a certain amount of Seth Rogen you have to be able to sit through.
I think our listeners could actually hear Jason roll his eyes right there.
Yes.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible that the entire West Coast heard me roll my eyes.
It's possible.
It's possible.
So we have this whole conversation between Robert Downey Jr. and Ben Stiller about the retard, about their various careers, how Ben Stiller wanted to have Robert Downey Jr.'s career and blah, 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 which is fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's hilarious. And the fact that Al Pacino and Robert Downey are, or Al Pacino's sniping at Robert Downey all the time because Robert Downey keeps saying stuff like, you don't know what it's like to be a black man. because Robert Downey Jr. doesn't break character until he's done the DVD commentary. Which, by the way, I think there is a DVD commentary that's mostly like just ad-lib gibberish.
So it's like the Galaxy Quest?
Kind of.
Thermian version?
Yep, I haven't listened to it, but I think it might be worthwhile. Now, Ben Stiller's been captured by this group who, when they find out that he's Simple Jack, they make him perform scenes from Simple Jack. And he finds a kid he's always wanted to adopt, who makes him a little twig Oscar. It's all very Ben Stiller.
Yeah, I'm with Brother Jay during this part of the movie. I just want to skip past it.
How did you know that? How did you know I wanted to skip past it?
The only redeeming part of this part of the movie was you get to the "I'm just a dude trying to be another dude" speech, which is really funny.
And then basically it's just a race to the end. I mean, it's just some action and how they managed to pull off the fact that they didn't make the war movie, but they made a documentary that then won a bunch of awards, blah, blah, blah.
Got to see John Voight acting pissed off that he didn't win an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. Got to see lots of people.
He probably didn't know where he was.
Yeah, he probably thought he really didn't win an Oscar. Turns out he didn't. Yeah. And we got to see Lance Bass We got to see Tom Cruise dance through the end credits, which I thought was sort of funny.
It was very funny.
I mean, I think I laughed out loud watching Les Grossman dance with his big old arms and his booty hanging low.
I would rather watch that end credit scene than the Build Me Up Buttercup from There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, and that was a great end credit scene.
It was.
I think there need to be more movies with those, like, rollicking, all-cast... I guess they do it mostly in animation movies now, but where all the cast will sing and have little parts during the credits.
You mean, like, maybe Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2?
No, I haven't seen that. Do they have that at the end?
Yeah.
Jason, have you seen the music video that goes with that movie?
No. I wasn't aware there was a music video, so
you should check that out. It's pretty good.
What song is it?
It's an original.
I wasn't aware of such. I own the DVD, so it may be on the DVD.
It's got to be on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, something like Phantom Thread or There Will Be Blood or something where they can all join hands and have a good sing-along at the end.
There Will Be Blood? Wow.
The I Drink Your Milkshake Shuffle.
And they can all do the outtakes where they're all like laughing about all the death and mayhem.
The outtakes where the crew actually has to come pull Daniel Day-Lewis off of somebody he's trying to murder.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, I think everybody could use a little dose of Build Me Up Buttercup. So I guess we have all of the reactions to the movie. I still think this is worth watching. I liked it a lot. Drew, I sense it wasn't quite worth it, except for a few points.
No, I mean, it's worth it. For the parts that are good, it's worth it. There are plenty of parts that aren't good, but the highs are high enough to more than counteract the lows.
Agreed. And Brother Jay, what's your verdict?
This is unjudgeable.
Okay.
I don't think that's true. I think you've been judging it the whole time.
It wasn't an awful movie. I just didn't laugh at it. So as a comedy, it failed. As satire, for me, it failed. So I'm going to give it a D minus.
It's as listener Susan's son would say when he was a young child, it's good, set not for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would not contradict that. Again, lots of critics liked it, and it made tons of money. So clearly I'm in the minority, and I'm fine with that. It just didn't speak to me, so.
Well, okay, so next week when we cover the movie Hot Stuff with Dom DeLuise and Jerry Reed.
I have no illusion that that would be a horrible movie.
We're going to do that with DC Cab. We'll just...
I thought we were doing Super Fuzz.
We might as well just do Blackula.
What is Super Fuzz?
What do you mean, what is Super Fuzz?
Are we talking about an actual like 70s blaxploitation movie? Or are we talking about like some sort of remake?
Super Fuzz, I thought, was an early 80s movie about a cop who got superpowers.
Really?
When he was exposed to
the sun? Did I make this movie up when I was a little kid?
Maybe. I don't know.
Super Fuzz, 1980, Terrence Hill and Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah, man.
From a nuclear explosion gives a police officer superpowers as long as he doesn't see anything red.
Is this for real on the calendar?
It is now.
That would be great. I have never seen that movie, or that I remember.
I was going to say, I think you've seen it. You probably just don't remember it. Oh, look, there's an ad for Sicario, Day of the Soldado.
The critics love that movie.
So bad.
It does. It looks horrible. Really? Yeah. No, the critics seem to love it. I haven't seen a bad review yet.
There's no way.
I can't imagine. They must be the internet critics.
It's not good. Something. Yeah.
Wow.
Those aren't real critics.
Wow.
Are you watching the trailer?
Well, no, it hijacked my webpage and then it exploded glass with bullets into my screen.
Oh, that's nice.
Wait, real bullets?
Real glass?
Yes, real bullets. How is Josh Brolin going to... I don't understand. Oh, never mind.
What? He didn't die.
No, I know. I just...
But, you know, they didn't get the director or Emily Blunt, so it's like the best part
of the writer.
Movie. Yeah, so... Oh, next week is Into the Wild.
Oh, but they did get Jeffrey Donovan.
I was going to say, you can go now, Mr. Hoover.
I think that was my favorite part of the J. Edgar thing. If you could actually just do a whole episode as Wolfgang and
Bobby
Kennedy talking to each other.
Oh, wow. That would be a challenge. I'd have to write a script for that. Hey, Catherine Keener's in it. Matt Modine? Huh.
Well, I'm telling you, people seem to like it.
Well, lots of people like this movie.
And I'm one of them.
Good.
Loud and proud.
Excellent. It's 122 minutes long, by the way.
That's a long movie. So, are we on to housekeeping then?
Housekeeping. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what?
Oh, it just started playing music in the background on the Sicario page, so I had to close it. It scared me.
I'm imagining the music in the Sicario sequel is just like Yakety Sax.
Exactly. Well, no, you know what? Yakety Sax played by like a mariachi
Trent
band.
Trent Reznor. Oh, see, we went different directions.
Yes. Actually, if Trent Reznor was the leader of a mariachi band, there we go. Actually, I'd love to hear a mariachi version of Head Like a Hole.
I'm positive it's got to be on YouTube somewhere.
It's got, yeah, there's got to be, does Richard Cheese do any of that kind of stuff? Or he does Closer. I'm sure everybody does Closer, right?
I have no idea who that is.
Richard Cheese? Oh, wow.
Well, this is an opportunity to bring back the magic of Richard Cheese, who I'm sure we have exposed listeners to from way back in the day.
You let me desecrate you. works for me. Help me get away from myself. I wanna fuck you like an animal. I wanna feel you from the inside. I wanna fuck you like an animal. My whole existence is flawed. You get me closer to God.
Let me just throw in a little bit of Richard Cheese doing Welcome to the Jungle.
Can find whatever you may need. If you got the money, honey, we got your disease in the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Watch it bring you to your na 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 knees. I wanna watch you bleed.
Richard Cheese is a lounge singer that has a keyboard and a stand-up bass. I think it's just a three-piece, right? Just the keyboard and the stand-up bass. Is there a drummer? Probably.
I think it depends on when you get him. Sometimes it's just him and a piano.
Yeah.
And so I think it depends on what part of touring he's at. So
his shtick is just 100% lounge versions of popular songs.
It is quite literal, just cheese.
Yeah. From the 80s and 90s. I don't know if he does anything. He's still touring, I'm sure, right?
Hungry Like the Wolf, man.
Oh, he's got some funny stuff there.
I am not interested unless he does a version of Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe. Hey, hey. Living like a lover in a red hot phone. Looking like a tramp, like a video vamp. Demolition woman, can I be your man? Her man. Come on, take a bottle. Shake it up. Break the bubble. Break it up. Pour some sugar on me. In the name of love. Some sugar on me. Come on, fire me up. Pour your sugar on me. I can't get enough. I'm hot, sticky, sweet. From my head to my feet, yeah.
He was in the Lego movie, the Lego Batman movie soundtrack.
Cool.
He has a box set coming out in 2020.
They still make box sets?
Yeah, I was going to say.
He has an album out this year, Lord of the Swings, The Best of Richard Cheese, of Volume 2.
Wait, he just put out Volume 2 Best of, and he's got a box set coming out later?
Apparently.
What is this guy, spoken word Henry Rollins?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, that wasn't fair. We just hit Henry at the right time.
I was going to say, you're besmirching, you know, one of my most favoritist idols, so... Tread lightly.
Okay. Feet of clay.
Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine will be at the Las Vegas Red Rock Casino Friday, June 29th through Friday, September 28th.
That's about right. What are tickets for that? How much do those go for?
Click here for tickets.
Yeah, let's see. Is it a $20 show? Is it a $15 show?
$65.
It can't be more than 30 bucks.
$64.
Wow.
Oh.
Nearly on the head.
There are cheap seats. There are seats as cheap as 39, but reserved seats are 64. 18 and up older, please.
Of course. He's going to drive you to your shana nana 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 knees. So, do we have housekeeping?
20 albums on sale on iTunes for Richard Cheese, by the way.
He probably sells them all on a card table after the show. I mean, don't get me wrong. I support the arts. So, buy some albums. Everybody go buy Richard Cheese.
I got to see a grown-up movie in the theater last weekend.
Really?
Did you? What'd you see?
I saw Avengers Infinity War.
Is that really a grown-up movie?
It's not a cartoon.
Okay, there you go. And did you like it?
I did. But, you know, I'm a sucker for decent comic book movies, so the bar is pretty low for me, but yeah. I somehow managed to talk my wife into taking the kids to Incredibles 2 while I went to go see a different movie.
Wow.
The Fourth Protocol? What?
That is, nah, that will never happen to me.
That was great. And my movie started a half an hour later and was a half an hour longer. So afterwards, she had to entertain them by herself for about an hour.
Did they enjoy Incredibles 2?
They did, yeah.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Also, last night, we had our first children's x-rays done.
Oh, no. Ooh. What happened?
Yeah, my youngest daughter was chasing my oldest daughter upstairs.
With the pair of scissors.
No, but my oldest daughter ran into our bedroom and slammed the door. Just as my youngest child was reaching her hand through the door. So she actually slammed her pinky into the door, like stuck in the door. And my oldest daughter did not open the door when my youngest daughter started screaming because she thought she was faking it, just trying to get her to open the door.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. So when she realized what happened, she was feeling pretty bad about it.
Oh, I bet.
Well, that's appropriate.
Yeah, we looked at that. That was gnarly looking.
Did it, like, break the nail or anything?
No, it was down past the second knuckle, so closer to the actual hand.
Holy moly.
Crushed the fat part of the pinky.
So at least it didn't, like, get kiss-kiss bang-banged, though, right?
No. But yeah, it started to, like, within like 20 minutes started to swell up pretty bad. So
we know about finger injuries indoors.
Yeah, we do.
Oh yeah, I know.
So
took her in, got her an x-ray. Turns out no break, no ligament damage.
Sweet.
I don't know how.
It just hurts like a mother because kids are bendy.
Yeah, luckily.
Yeah, if that was grandpa's hand.
Yeah.
The door wouldn't dare.
Actually, now Grandpa's listening to the podcast, so we got to be careful, more careful what we say.
Oh, yeah. I heard that they were listening to it on their drive home where they got stuck in the accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they want to know what the F about garage face.
We all bring our own bags on the trip.
Yeah.
Well, so how traumatized is your youngest?
She was freaking out pretty good last night. That was actually one of the really disconcerting parts of the whole thing, because my youngest one is super tough. Like, I'll watch her do something that looks really horrific to me, and she'll just bounce right back up. And she was crying and wailing pretty hard last night. So, that was freaking me out.
Like, well, did they give her something for the pain? Hopefully.
No.
Or did they just say ibuprofen?
Yeah. They don't give kids time.
Yeah, not going to slip her a Vicodin?
No, I mean, I have booze.
There you go. Sedating children since...
1850.
B.C.
No, she's fine now. I mean, this morning, we gave her the choice of going to her grandmother's house or going to school, but they're having a field trip, so she wanted to go to school, so she's feeling pretty good. So we just buddy taped it.
Cool.
Sent her to school.
Well, I'll make a good story, and then she can horrify other kids.
Yeah, how's your eldest daughter?
She might be more traumatized.
I was going to say, yeah.
She just in general, she's tougher to read, because when she's upset about something, she just kind of gets quiet.
Oh, we don't know anything about that.
Yeah, something I can relate to. Yeah. So she seems okay, but yeah, you know, she's not really saying anything. So I can tell she's chewing on something in her head.
You need to get that girl a Nerf football. She can throw a Nerf football pretty well.
Oh, we've got, we take one when we're camping. It has like a tail on it.
Mm.
And it whistles if you get a good spiral on it. So she loves that thing.
Yeah, no, she and I were throwing the football around. She's not going to be a receiver at this young age. But she can throw pretty well. I was impressed.
Yeah, she loves it. Yep.
So, wow. Yeah, that's. I'm glad we. Glad that was not my story. Brother Jay, any housekeeping on your end?
No, just status quo for now. Can't complain.
Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on a new voicemail account to leave voice messages, or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts, dial it already.